Welcome to Focus on the Community, a weekly program that focuses on issues and events in our community.
And happy weekend to you. It's good to have you along. Our guest this weekend is Lieutenant Governor Suzanne Crouch, joining us from Indianapolis and the state government offices up there. She is one of the few people that is truly essential to the standpoint she has to go into work every day. That means you really are special, aren't you?
Well, I'm not any more special than all the 6.7 million Hoosiers who are dedicated to keeping other Hoosiers safe and be sure that we can reopen our economy as safely as possible.
And how's that going? Because we hear all kinds of, everybody has an opinion. So you've got, you know, as many opinions on how this is being handled as you do people that live in the state. From the Lieutenant Governor's standpoint, how do you think Indiana's doing with the pandemic?
Well, there was an article in the New York Times today talking about Indiana as an example of what other states should do, and how we have handled this in the way that, you know, we've used data to be able to make decisions. There has been a study that was completed and announced yesterday by the governor at his press conference with Fairbanks School, there with Indiana University, and they conducted the study. And what it has done is, by random testing Hoosiers from all over the state, we now have a better idea of how prevalent this virus is here in Indiana. And according to the random sampling that they did here in May, it shows that their results show that 2.8% of Hoosiers have been either infected or are currently infected. And what they also were determined through the study was that the fatality rate is almost 0.6%, which is six times higher than what the fatality rate is from seasonal flu. So we have more and better information. We'll continue to get that information because that is random testing that will go on over a period of a year. But in addition to that, Frank, we have set up 50 sites and setting up 50 sites all over Indiana to test 100,000 Hoosiers here within the next month. But in addition to that, the state also has entered into contact tracing contract with a private company so that if you are actually diagnosed with COVID-19, we're able to go back and trace the people you've come into contact with and get them quarantined so that we can slow that spread and not allow it to infect other Hoosiers. That testing that is taking place and it has given us information is one of the reasons why we now are in our second stage of a five-stage back on track Indiana plan to reopen our economy safely, keeping Hoosiers healthy. And the goal is by the 4th of July to be totally reopened. But at any point in time, if we sense that the numbers are getting out of control, we will pause that plan and we will reevaluate. But it is only happening because of the dedication and the commitment of the Hoosiers that are taking care of themselves and taking care of their families who are practicing those recommendations that will keep us all safe and healthy. I'm very proud of Hoosiers, and I'm very proud of the state of Indiana and Governor Holcomb for his leadership through this.
Lieutenant Governor Suzanne Crouch, our guest today. A couple things there. One, you mentioned the study of the IU Fairbanks Institute that came out, and you mentioned the fatality rate. It's more than what we originally thought it was, but when you just hear the number recited, as you just did, it sounds minuscule. Are we at a risk of maybe not taking this as seriously as we thought we needed to because it just sounds so small?
Well, that is what we know right now, you know, based upon where we are currently. But that, because it is a new virus and we don't know how it is going to, you know, evolve, that is what we know right now. But we have to continue to be vigilant because it can spread and the numbers can be far worse than they currently are. The numbers are what they are, Frank, because of the steps that we have taken and because of the vigilance of Hoosiers throughout our state in following recommendations, keeping themselves healthy and safe, but keeping their neighbors and their family and their friends healthy and safe. Those numbers can change. We don't want to see those numbers change, but until we get a vaccine, we're going to have to learn how to live our lives in that new normal, being able to reopen our economy, but keeping Hoosiers healthy and safe.
One of the other things you mentioned, too, is the new contact tracing that's going on. If you could explain to us a little bit exactly how that works, because I have seen social media posts and I've heard people talk about that, and they're going, it's another example of Big Brother overreach is what some people are saying. And you know, being concerned, I mean, obviously, just across the state line here from us, we see J.B. Pritzker and how he's handling everything compared to how we're doing it here in Indiana. There's a lot of different approaches here, and some folks are worried that the contact tracing might be a bit of an overreach. So if you would, tell us, how does that work, and why is it not an overreach?
When you are, you know, diagnosed with COVID-19, the way the contact tracing works is we've entered into a contract with Maximus, a private company. They have a call center. They've done business with the state. And when someone tests positive, what they will do is come up with a list of the people through that individual. We'll provide them with the names of people that they have come into contact with. Then those individuals will be called and will be asked to quarantine and take the steps to keep that virus from spreading. But that is, quite honestly, something that I would want to know. If someone had tested positive and someone that I had come into contact with, I would want to know that I might be at risk, so I can take the steps to keep myself and my family safe. Because at the end of the day, that is our number one priority, is the health and safety of Hoosiers here in our state.
Is compliance with contact tracing voluntary, or is there a way for state officials to force it?
I haven't heard of enforcement. I have heard the discussion centered around people doing what is right, people having that responsibility to take the necessary steps to keep that virus from spreading. But the health officials would probably be far better to answer that question. And you can certainly go to the Indiana State Department of Health website, where they have frequently asked questions and information and a call line where you can get not just that question, but any question you have answered, because we want to ensure that Hoosiers understand what's going on and that they feel comfortable with how we're proceeding and progressing.
You talked about how we're moving through the governor's plans to eventually get the entire state reopened and try to get back to some kind of what most folks would consider normal. But you also mentioned, too, and this is not a bad idea, I mean, if we need to, we can hit the pause button. But boy, that's got a lot of folks nervous. I don't know how close you're paying attention to what's going on in some of your own stomping grounds in, you know, southwestern Indiana, but the Lenten Freedom Day Festival has already been canceled. There's several other things that have been canceled, but there's a few other groups that are saying, well, we're going to go ahead and try to have our 4th of July events or events. There's a fly-in set for Holman Field here in Terre Haute toward the end of July. We're going to go ahead and try to have that. There's a lot of folks who are really kind of nervous that they're going to try to get something going, and then all of a sudden at the last minute, they're going to have to cancel it. And that's a big worry for a lot of folks, isn't it?
Absolutely, that is, because we all want certainty in our lives. And what we're living in right now is a very uncertain time. So, yes, of course, that is a concern and should be a concern. But when events move forward, they will have to move forward in a way different than what we've experienced, at least till we get a vaccine for this COVID-19. So, you know, the parades, the festivals, the things that do occur, those gatherings that do occur have to meet, you know, the recommendations. And then, you know, they'll look differently, just because I know that event planners and organizers and groups that are putting on events are going to want to keep Hoosiers safe. So they will, I know they will take the steps to be able to do that. But, you know, the other thing that I have to give a shout out for, Frank, is you know, our Office of Community and Rural Affairs, or OCRA, as we refer to it, immediately reacted when COVID-19 hit. And they took and repurposed funds, received some CARES funding, and they were able to distribute quickly, within a couple of weeks, almost $12 million to 62 communities throughout the state of Indiana to help them respond to COVID-19. And the city of Brazil was awarded $75,000 to be able to provide groceries and hygiene products through the partnership that they have with the Clay County Emergency Food Pantry and the Senior Citizen Center Open Food Pantry. So it was a way where the state was able to partner with your local communities to be able to help them and the people that live in those communities respond to the needs that were being created as a result of COVID-19. That is something that I am so terribly proud of, is the partnerships that we establish between state government and local communities and local government to be able to meet not just this crisis, but the needs of Hoosiers each and every day.
Well, and as Lieutenant Governor, you oversee the ag end of Indiana as well. And a lot of folks, well, I mean, we're not an all grain state. We also obviously have, we're meat producers here, and we've had problems with COVID-19 and meat production here in Indiana. How do you address folks that are concerned about that? I mean, I know the state's taking a very close look at what's going on as far as meat production here in Indiana.
Well, here in Indiana, agriculture is big business. It contributes over $31 billion to our state's economy. We are the 10th largest farming state in Indiana. And right now, 94,000 Hoosiers are out in the fields, putting those crops in the ground. And we are well ahead of our five-year average in the percent of corn and the percent of soybeans that are planted. And that is so critically important, because uncertainty has just been almost a way of life with farmers in recent times, from the inclement weather that we had last year to the trade negotiations and now COVID-19 and the disruption of our food supply chain. They continue to be resilient and continue to do what needs to be done to get the job done. But it isn't easy. This is not an easy time for our agriculture industry and community because of COVID-19. The two meatpacking plants up in the northern part of the state, or central, north central, they've reopened, but they aren't at the capacity that they were at. So that continues, and that has been because the State Department of Health, working with local departments of health, were able to set up testing and be able to, ensure that they were able to reopen safely and keep people healthy. So we are taking those steps, and we continue to take the steps that we need to be there for our farmers, to be there to help them in this time of COVID-19 and all the uncertainty that they are facing. So, but we're all in this together, and we will come out stronger as a state and stronger as Hoosiers, because that's what we do.
And what can the state or what has the state done to help out livestock farmers in Indiana? Obviously, right now there's a concern that, you said the processing plants are only not working at full capacity. And there's a lot of farmers that have livestock on the farm, and now they don't know what to do with them in some cases. So what can the state do to help them out?
Well, we can get the, doing what we are doing in terms of getting those processing plants operating, continue to work with them to be sure that we have, marketplace for our farmers, for their, not just their crops, but their commodities and their hogs and their pigs. To date, we're making it. It's a struggle, but we are making it because we are all in it together. The state will be walking right alongside to ensure that we are there through our Department of Agriculture to be of assistance and to be there for them.
And one final thing, obviously, before you moved over to the executive branch, when you were still in the legislative branch as a state legislator, you served on the Ways and Means Committee, so you're no stranger to state budgets and our state funding. Obviously, luckily, we have money in the bank, but we're burning through quite a bit of that because of a lack of tax revenue and stuff. Financially, how is Indiana doing?
Well, and you're absolutely right, Frank. As a result of fiscal conservative leadership over the past 15 years, Indiana had a $2.2 billion surplus, unlike many of our neighboring states, particularly to the west of us. You know, that has been necessary for times like this. But our state revenues, just like local state revenues or local government revenues, and just like the private sector revenues, have been adversely impacted. And it will take a toll. Next year is a budget year. And as I have said to my agencies, do not plan on any new spending. In addition, the budget agency has directed our state agencies to look at cuts up to 20% of their current budgets year before year end, June 30. So we're doing exactly what the private sector is doing. We're tightening our belts because we need to be able to do more with less. As our workers, as our employees are working from home, we're seeing ways that we can be more efficient in the future as we move forward. So government will continue to provide services to Hoosiers as they have known them and have come to deserve them, but we will do it in a more efficient way. And just like every other Hoosier, we'll bite the bullet and tighten our belt.
Government making do with less. Now, that's a novel approach.
Well, it's the right approach.
Lieutenant Governor Suzanne Crouch, our guest today. Hey, real quick before I let you go, you do have a website just for your office. So if folks want to find out what you're up to and the agencies under your purview are up to, they can drop by your website, right?
Absolutely. You certainly can. And you can go to IN.gov and access Lieutenant Governor's website. You can access the State Department of Health website. Information is there. We are currently doing a lot of our business online or with phone calls, but we will slowly be reopening government in a limited capacity that keeps our employees safe and keeps Hoosiers safe.
Lieutenant Governor Suzanne Crouch, our guest today, we thank her for spending some time with us. And if you missed part of today's show or you want to go back and look or listen to another section of it again and see exactly what was that? What did they say? All you have to do is just look for this on our website. It's right there as a podcast. We'll see you again next weekend.
You've been listening to Focus on the Community, a weekly public affairs program that focuses on issues and events in our community. To be considered as a guest on Focus on the Community, contact us by calling 812-420-2518. Be sure and tune in again next week at this time as we focus on the community.